From Ephesians 6, verse 10, and as it starts with finally, we know it's the summation of all that Paul has been arguing. So we're going to have to need to read all that's gone before so that we can understand his summation. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armour that God gives you so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armour now. Then, when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks, and after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready, with truth as a belt tight round your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one, and accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. And then the verse. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And pray also for me, that God will give me a message when I am ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel's secret. And may the Holy Spirit really help us to grow and be challenged and to be changed by God's word. We're focusing in today on verse 18, and you'll see the PowerPoint as it goes through. It's loading, and hopefully all you wait till Monday when BT are in. Do pray for the setup of all the fibre optics and everything. That would be great. We're focusing in on verse 18. The passage is all about what we're to do together. And I'm constantly having to remind Christians of this, that they're not in this spiritual battle, which is an absolute reality, but we on our own, but we are together. And this army needs to work together, not just as individuals. And so as we look at different aspects of working, the shields of faith locked together, like the Roman tortoise, we see that we are protected as long as we are with God's people in prayer. That's an aside we need to remember. Together, we need to get ready. Because we need to stand against the devil's evil tricks, and we need to resist evil principalities and powers. That's part of what we said about the cosmology of the world. That is a given according to Scripture. And verse 18. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. Or as we would read in the original Greek, that we are to persevere in prayer for all the saints. And you can remember that, all the saints. And it actually is a weakness, I believe, of the Good News Translation, that that is not actually there. That we are to persevere in prayer for all the saints. It's translated as all God's people. But it's talking about those who are holy. This is a really helpful passage in our year of speaking about handing on the eternal flame and this series in talking about prayer and spirituality. Again, it speaks about the evil one and our relationship also with the world, which we discussed last week. And we're thinking today about staying awake spiritually, persevering in prayer. And today about prayer for all the saints. Just what does that mean? The disciples went to Jesus and they said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And the reason they were asking that was because they surely felt, even after thousands of years, as a people with relationship to God, something had gone wrong. Praying in the temple, looking at a brick wall, crying out the temple, cannot be what Jesus was introducing about the living stones and that was prayed about. Teach us to pray. And surely we admit that we need to learn to pray, that we need to be in that journey with God as a people and individually. Just as they said to Jesus, teach us to pray. Let's say that today. We're thinking about spirituality and prayer. And spirituality may seem a strange word to us. In our society, often it's used just for the whole idea of religion generally. But for us, we're thinking about growing in relationship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not just any old God or no God. And spirituality grows, we become integrated as people as we pray, as we learn about God and relate to God. And it's involved in our practical Christianity, our daily living and mission. It's not just our spirituality, something we go away into a room to discover, although we do need those times of solitude. But it has to be the integration of these three things. It will not be a whole spirituality. We will not be a whole people following Jesus unless these are coming together. So relationship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will keep coming up, because we're talking about Christian spirituality. And we're not just talking about us as individuals growing in our relationship with God, but as a people. The Bible also takes that for granted and teaches that, that as God's people gather, they are to develop a spirituality. They are to flourish. You will help me. I am meant to help you. And together we will stand strong. Relationship with God. Prayer to the Father. Our Father, in the name Jesus, and in the Spirit, as is mentioned. And I'm not talking about today, but actually praying according to the Spirit, the will of God, learning to pray so that our prayers become powerful. They may become more simple. They may become shorter. They may flourish and flower, but that they are more truly prayers that are pleasing to God, bringing about what he wants on the earth. This relationship, we stress relationship, and we've stressed relationship with God, but also last week we introduced one other factor of relationship, and today we're going to introduce another. Prayer is to do with our relationship with God. We know that. And sometimes a pastor or an older Christian asks you, what's your relationship like with God? But I hinted last week that maybe we should also ask this question. What's your relationship like with the world? The world that God loves. The world that God sends us into. The world that hated Jesus and so will hate us when we follow Jesus. What's our relationship with the world? And that's part of prayer, isn't it? Because how are we going to pray for the world, which we did, you know, all the children of the world, if we don't understand what our relationship with the world is? It's cosmology, what the world is like, how evil and goodness relate, how righteousness clashes with certain things. So prayer is also about our relationship with the world. And today we add, prayer is also to do with our relationship with God's people, all the saints. Not just in our local congregation. So prayer is all to do with relationship. With God, with the world, and of course our relationship with one another as followers of Jesus, the saints. We've spoken of what the world refers to, the whole universe, all the heavens and the earth, and how the cosmos really is. We've read about that in that chapter, haven't we? Principalities and powers. We've read about a world which is in some ways complex, but that we need to keep that understanding simple. So in our prayers, we are going to be moving, thinking about as in heaven, so on earth, this relationship. And we're going to be thinking about all the saints, not just our own local church. We said last week that Jesus is praying for our protection, and we looked at that prayer in John 17, if you remember. But according to Paul, in this passage that was read to us, in verse 18, we also need to keep on praying for all the saints. So although Jesus is praying for us and our protection, we need to be praying for all the saints. That seems amazing. Is that possible? What does that mean? Who are the saints? Well, I'm not talking about a football team, or even a rugby team, or even a rock band, but rather all believers. All believers. Not just Christian believers of exceptional holiness, not just Christian believers who have died and been canonized for their exceptional acts of saintliness, but as the New Testament uses the term, to describe all believers. And the very first verse, the letter is written to the saints. Just says to the saints. And some translations put in Ephesus. But actually Paul was writing a letter which was for all saints for all time. We are saints. Can you say that? We are saints. Now, part of you might balk at that. Part of you, you might think, can I get that beyond my voice box to actually say that out loud? We are holy because of Jesus. This is a state. We are holy. If we have accepted Jesus and asked him to make us holy, we are holy. The evil one cannot accuse us of wrongdoing or our failures or our shortcomings. We have been made holy, because if we hadn't, we could not relate to a holy God. We are holy. It's not something we've attained to. And how many people bind that large stone around their neck and their legs and they say, if I'm good enough, I'll get to heaven. If I'm good enough, I will know the Lord when I die. Well, the New Testament does not teach that. The New Testament does teach that we should excel in doing good, and that we were prepared for acts of goodness, and that we are to shun evil. But it also says that we are made holy by the grace of God and by our faith in Jesus Christ. You are a saint. You may not be a saint in your behaviour, but you are a saint in your status. Amazing. You are a saint. But don't lick your lips and say that's where it ends. We're also called, if we enjoy the cleansing of Jesus, to live holy lives, separate from evil and available to God. So that when we put up our hand and say, I'm a saint, it's not because we're going to be in any stained glass window, beautiful though they are, and we could be in those stained glass windows. It's actually saying, Lord, you have made me holy, but what's more, you wash my hands, but I am separate from evil, and I am available to be used. Every day of my life, I am available to be used. Now, I know you know that. But the New Testament, although it says we can say that we are saints, also tells us to sanctify ourselves. 2 Timothy 1:9. That we will follow God, who is absolutely the Holy One. Holy is his name. And therefore God says, you be holy because I am holy. So there is a behaviour element to it. So no wonder we need prayer. No wonder we need to pray for all the saints, because we need that prayer of one another. I remind you, we are a holy temple. We're glad that we can come and be part of that holy temple. We are a holy priesthood. We are a holy nation. These are amazing truths. And we are actually going to be saying to people, We're not perfect. We have failed. We have known God's forgiveness. But knowing Jesus has changed the way I behave because of what I believe. And I belong to this group of people, and we're trying to help one another to live differently. If we're called to live holy lives, then we certainly are going to need prayer for all the saints. I love it. There's lots of gospel songs. There's also the song about for all the saints, that strange hymn that comes into non-conformist hymn books, who from their labours rest. But they have been saints and they have worked hard for the Lord. How realistic is it to pray for all the saints? Liz is handing out prayer cards. Will we be praying small prayers for a few people? Yeah, probably. For specific individuals? We'll be praying for our church? Probably. Will we be praying for the teams? Yes. We'll be praying for all the saints in the world and not just individual nations? Yeah, I hope so. We can do that. Because it's not just us involved in prayer. Prayer, finding out what pleases God. Paul's already been praying for all the saints. That's why we need to read the whole of the letter to the Ephesians. Now, there are two sections of prayer recorded in this letter. One is in chapter 1, one is in chapter 3. Although it's the sort of thing Liz and I were saying, you know, when people talk and then move into prayer, they almost flow together, and Paul's conversation is almost prayer. He's so used to relating to God. We've got a long way to go. In chapter 1, verse 15, he says of the Ephesians, "You have love for all the saints." So their love has gone beyond their own small community. And he requests in chapter 3, verse 18, on the basis that they are together with all the saints. Paul feels free to be able to pray for the people of God, the believers in Jesus Christ. Do you see what I'm getting at? He's able to utter these vast prayers going to the Lord of all eternity for all the saints throughout all the earth. That's amazing. In the name of Jesus, we are able to pray for all the saints. Now, in our prayers for the world, sometimes we focus in on a particular group. Today, we just happen to pray for all the children. And so the Duradolas obviously understand that. Well done. But all the saints we can pray for. And we think, oh, is God going to answer prayers like that? Paul understands Jesus' followers as a whole people. And he uses pictures in this letter to the Ephesians of the body, the building, the bride. He prays for all the saints, that all the saints will be rooted and established in love and also able to know the dimensions of God's love and know that his love surpasses knowledge. You will never exhaust the love of God. And I'm not going through all the prayers, but that's one of the things he prays, that God's people will be rooted and established in love. For Paul, the people of God, the saints, is important because the people of God is the means by which God is glorified in the world through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. To him be glory in the church. We know that Jesus has brought glory to God and will continue to do that. But through the miracle of human beings coming to God, God will show his glory. In our weakness, he will show his strength. God will reveal what he can do through our lives together. Now, this is utterly amazing, because what a hodgepodge we are. I like to pride myself in being one of those people that, given a few things like an onion and some oil and a few vegetables and a can of tomatoes and whatever, I can make a tasty meal. And I think I can, Jeff, can't I? Jeff can make a wonderful meal out of salmon or steak or whatever, but I reckon, you know. But I think God is amazing that he can make and show his glory through his people, through the church. It utterly amazes me that he's going to take a motley crew from Victoria Park, full of love and gifting, and from YWAM, and from, you know, a few churches in the States, and a little bit here from Uganda that's coming, and a bit from ELT, and a bit. He can show his glory. He can make himself known. Paul believes that God is able to do more than we can pray or even imagine. Chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. You may be praying for all the saints, but God can do even more than you imagine. God is able to do that. Be rooted and established in love. May all God's people be rooted and established in love. I put the kaleidoscope up because Paul uses the picture of the kaleidoscope. He calls God's people the kaleidoscopic, the multicoloured people. It's where we get our word kaleidoscope from. God takes broken bits of glass to make a kaleidoscope that isn't even as fixed as a stained glass window. It's constantly changing through movement because God's people are never static. And God makes something beautiful, a way of living. Keep praying for all the saints. Paul is giving reasons. Pray for the saints that they may be rooted in love so that God may show his glory through his people. Also, pray for the saints because there are going to be temptations. Temptations to doubt our relationship with God. Temptations to doubt the power of Jesus to conquer evil. Temptations to feel that God's people are an absolute pain in the neck at times. Temptations of all sorts. Jesus warns us, he says, watch, keep alert, because temptations will come. The evil one will bring temptations. Watch out for these, particularly during these times of reaching out to share the love of God with others. Watch out. Paul exhorts the church to pray for all the saints, but to be holy. If you read from chapter 4, 17 through to 5 and 6 chapters, Paul is saying you need to live as children of the light. Kaleidoscope is beautiful because the light shines through those broken pieces. That is why we can be a beautiful people, because we show redemption. God taking that which is broken and throw away and discarded and making it wonderful together. Reliant on one another. Pray for one another and live differently. Don't live like the children of darkness. In practice, we're told in chapter 4 the sort of thing that means. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't do things that hurt God. So often we do things that hurt ourselves or hurt our families. But what about those things that hurt God, that grieve the Holy Spirit? When we believe that day of redemption, when God paid the price for us, we were sealed with God's Spirit. And practically this means, he gives one example, get rid of your bitterness, your rage, your anger, your brawling, and your slander with every kind of malice. Get rid of these things and be kind. Get rid of these things. Don't let your mind keep dwelling on them. Don't keep them alive by gossiping about them. Ask God to wipe your mind of those wrong attitudes and be kind. Pray for all the saints that we will be able to do this. Our disappointments, taking them to the Lord. Lord, I bring my disappointments. Please heal those and give me courage to go on. And persevere in our prayers for all the saints. Keep on praying. Keep going when we're tired, when we're frustrated, with all the saints. We're labouring. We're not yet resting. we will enter into the Lord's rest. We pray not just for other countries and needy people. We're part not just of a local church at Vicky Park. We're part not just of the church in the UK, but part of a global and indeed universal church. Those that have gone before, that great cloud of witnesses that are watching us even now. We're part of that universal church, saints in Jesus Christ, that spans generations and continents. Paul had had his mind enlarged, not blown, but enlarged, and his understanding had grown to pray for the whole church. And this we can do through the prayer mountain, through meeting with other people in small groups and large groups. Our understanding of praying for all the saints can grow. So I can join with the prayers on the radio this morning that are coming from a Catholic church as they lead their intercessions. And in the bathroom, I can hear them say, "Amen. I'm praying for all the saints, with all the saints, in the continents of the world." We ask for God's help on all occasions in the Spirit, persevering. Paul took on his responsibility. And this is our responsibility, because we know now and we have a Bible. We might say, "Well, I don't know how to pray." Start by reading aloud the prayers that Paul used. And as you read them, other prayers will flow from you out of the Holy Spirit. Start just by reading them. If you feel dead spiritually, start by reading the prayers, and the Holy Spirit will start to give you new breath and life. You may say, "I'm not a Saint Paul. I don't know what to pray." But we're without excuse today. We have here amazing prayers we can use. Our spiritual understanding and our spiritual muscles will grow stronger as we pray for all the saints. In our weakness, we are made strong. And we will be surprised by the extent of God's grace. He will answer. That is the testimony of my heart and our hearts, over and beyond what we ask or even imagine. So our understanding of the place, the purpose of God's people in this new cosmos, this new heaven and earth, will expand. We will understand that as children of the living God, who can pray in the name of Jesus, we can pray for all the saints. We can join our prayers. Let's respond. Even if it's to go, "Wow," let's respond. And at a time, Pete will lead us in a song. But let's, if you want to be still, if you want to kneel, that's fine. But let's just take time to be responding to God. Perhaps we can.